channel 2 right.
This is channel 2 right.
This is channel 2 right.
Fell and Mabel Patterson on Saturday, November 9, 1968. Channel 2 right.
Fell and Mabel Patterson
on Saturday, the 9th of November, 1968, the day of the big Florida-Georgia game in the Gator Bowl in Jacksonville. Otis Boggs had just said that it was raining steady over there. Well, over here, it's raining heavy. It's raining heavy now and blowing. It hadn't been doing that, but it's already rained an inch over here since 10 o'clock this morning. And I was at Patterson's at 10 minutes after 10 when Mabel talked to Don. He was over at the Denton's and wanted to come over there. And she looked at her 10. Well, it had just started raining then, light. I could hear it, though, on the roof. Now, this is Channel 2 right. This is my visit to the Patterson's Saturday morning, the 9th of November, 1968, the day of the big Georgia-Florida game in the Gator Bowl at Jacksonville. And now the rain over there is heavy. I just turned on WRUF, and Otis Boggs said it was light, it was steady over there, but it's heavy over here. Now, I had told, I'd driven over in Faye's new car, and I had told them about it. Had bought it from Brazington, the Cadillac dealer. And Phil had dealings with him and knew Johnny when he was just a mechanic and worked with his daddy out there.
Yes. Where'd you get it? The next day, he called me, and I went down there the next day. And he told me that the pressure that he was under from the Presbyterian Church, he had to let the preacher have that car. And I ain't never been to the damn place since.
LaSalle. Mine was a LaSalle Federal Ford. And Johnny worked on ours. Now, he was a mechanic then. He wasn't Mr. Brazen, and he's Mr. Brazen now.
Yeah, he wasn't Mr.
He wasn't Mr. then. He was just pure old Johnny. And he put the front end, you know, was supposed to fix the whole front end, you know, under that car, put everything new in. And he threw Phil in the ditch, and then he threw me in the ditch. It just happened so I was going fast if it had. I saw when they said real steep road in there before it was paved.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever something went wrong and dropped down on them, they just went right in the bushes. I went around to the great field tire back there with the Chevrolet thing. And so Johnny was around there a few minutes before he fixed it. And I told him, what's the fixing in such a mess as that? You said it was brand new. I said, fix something like that to kill somebody. But if we'd been out on the highway going around 6 to 7 miles an hour, I'd done that, it'd kill us. And I knew how we were going to work. Of course,
yeah.
He's got mechanics now. He don't do it.
Well, I didn't
care. Like you've got a call, and he needs it, and it's something matter with it.
B&G Motor Company.
Is that right? Johnny come in, and I hadn't seen him in a long time. And boy, he went out of his way to come over there to speak to me.
Mm-hmm.
The president of the bank, my student, says, "Where did you know him at?" I said, "That's one of the first people I met when came to Florida." But Johnny had got to be Mr. Brazen, the name, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Very important.
Is for. Time I seen him, and that's been 8-10 years. I sold him a Ford automobile, and he reminded me of dead then.
That Chrysler plane, it goes by whole powers, but Mr. Stademeyer's one owns things. And you watch him around, and he's got a stroke, and he has one arm, and he looks like a tramp. But buddy, he's got those books and everything else around there. He's going in the office, and he's one that looks after everything. And I was at that one, 1st of January one year, to give in taxes. And so he was hanging there. I thought to myself, well, I don't know what it was. He got to give in, that I ought to be ahead of him, because I know he ain't got nothing. Because old shoes he had on, the old overcoat and breeches and all he had on. And that scanner got through, I got 35,000, he had 40,000 somewhere else, then what all he had. And then he says, I've got so much in such and such place for me and my daughter, got that together. I thought to myself, I would walk on out of there, I didn't have no taxes to give. That man had all that. I don't know, used me to give any in because they had enough with him without mine.
Yeah, that thunder. Yeah, thunder.
Yeah. Oh, he's been thundering several times this morning. He said rain today. I know those ball players hate the old
rain.
Rain. 10 8 10 What's the man be doing this morning? You can't find her. What? You just woke up. Were you over there then by yourself? She's around there somewhere, honey. But Donnie's thundering now. Don't you get with him, honey, if it goes raining now. Okay, darling. Well, I'll see you. Bye. And Donnie wanted me to come pick him up. A little later.
Hi.
A little later.
Who is
Don?
Oh, Don.
Yeah, he's been sick all the week with a cold. And he's
not
been then.
I hear.
I had a cold. But I take these old dying vitamin pills all the time.
Yeah.
And I imagine that's why.
If you'll go to the drugstore and ask them, tell them you want. Some cold preventative. Costs you about $1.25 for a bottle of it. And tell them you want the kind you take 30 minutes for breakfast. And it's got 20 tablets to the bottle. I like those that put up by Upchurch, I think it is, and a capsule. They got 3 or 4 different kinds. And tell them you take it, it's 20 tablets in there. Now, the doctors charge you about $5 a shot to get shots for them. And if you will take that and take one every morning till you take the 20, 30 minutes before you eat, that you won't have no cold that one.
Where do you buy them?
Drugstore.
Which drugstore?
I can get them at Wise's, where I've always got them at.
Down there on the university?
On the university, they got one on
Fourth Avenue.
Fourth Avenue.
You ever got them out here to Hendrix?
I imagine you could. I haven't even tried, but I'm pretty sure they got them. And you don't have to have a prescription for them. Now, where we learned, Paul had asthma so bad.
Yeah.
And he went to old school in Jacksonville. And I was over there one time, and the nurse was talking to me, and she told me she had got them, and put all those boys on them.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I haven't had no trouble with no sick boys in a cold since.
Mm-hmm.
And so I noticed Paul quit having asthma.
Oh?
He just stopped it. And he had asthma terrible bad. And in the wintertime, at night, if he got out at night, he just never choked to death. And so Paul stopped having asthma. So after he came home, it wasn't several months before Paul started having it again. And I went to the doctor about it. And he got them for me and gave them to me. And Paul
mm-hmm.
stopped it again.
Mm-hmm.
And you ought to take them in September and in February.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't have no cold.
You know, we ought to. You know, we ought to hire Mabel out as not a doctor, but a nurse or something.
Oh, it's kind of like old granny, though, the television, She picks up some of that there. And stuff. If it don't kill you, it probably will kill you.
I remember what I had been and what it does. I don't forget it. And I don't feel like you got to live in the doctor's office by gravy to stay well.
Yeah.
You stay better off without the office than you do in it. And I know that won't hurt you. If it did, they couldn't sell it to you. And they got 4 or 5 different kinds. They got it in tablets.
Yeah.
But I like that. I always use that and a cap suit for Paul.
If
they have any cap suit or any of them tabs.
Yeah.
I didn't stay at home, but the day that I got measles, I had the measles, didn't know it, and stayed in the mist of rain all day. And it linked to...
You're supposed to take pneumonia for that, aren't you?
It linked to hell kill me. Well, I was about 18 years old, and that's the first doctor I'd ever had since I was born. And doctor come, I was at my mother's. I went home when I got sick, and I went home. And the old doctor come in there, and my mama come in telling them about what she was giving me, ginger tea, you know. And I put a little bit of daddy whiskey in that. And he finally, I don't know whether he gave me any medicine or anything or not, but he told my mama, mama was giving me aspirin and this ginger tea and one thing and another. And he told her, says, what you're doing is just as good as I can do, and he left.
Well, now there you are.
Well, I give Phil those cold tablets. He take marijuana for I don't know the years, and he didn't have no cold. Yeah, I don't know. It's just better than our doctors give you the shots because they get lots of money out of that.
Yeah.
Oh, it takes been going down. Oh, they're charging $2 for one of those vitamin shots. Charging $2. Well, I think the bottle, that's about what the bottle of stuff cost, ain't it?
Something like that. But anyway, you take penicillin, and they cost Paul said around $1.75. And they can give 12 shots out of that one bottle. See, Paul was in the Navy. He knew that.
Yeah.
You know, he was in the hospital, of course. He was hospital corpsman. And he says that's what it costs. A bottle of they give 12 shots out of one bottle. And Miss Agnes down here telling them one day, says that Dr. Strain, certainly was good to them. He was giving it to them. What do you call it? Yes, said it. You know, penicillin. And said he gets $5 shot for it, but says he's letting us have it for four. Paul said, well, Miss Agnes, he's robbing you then. And then he told her what he told. And said you get 12 shots out of one bottle.
What?
They sent him to those, to Gainesville, to Dr. Andrews. He charged him $84. And then told him he didn't know what to do for him. And he wanted to call in another doctor. Called in another doctor. And he charges $25 the first trip. It's in the same office. He came in, he charged $25. Now we got another bill from him for that. Made two trips and he paid about $35, $40 for him. And they still haven't done nothing for him. Told him to come back in 4 months. There wasn't nothing they could do but come back in 4 months and they wanted to check him again. They used to take their hands and ears and they tell you more what's the matter with you than they do with all the x-rays and tests that they take now.
I didn't charge you hardly anything.
The old Dr. Hillman in Albany. I carried my dad to him and he told me he was tied up at the office and he couldn't at the hospital, and he said, I don't know when I'll be at the office. Says, you bring your daddy on out here. Well, they done had, I don't know, the doctors with my daddy. And Papa warned Dr. Hill, wanted to see Dr. Hill, thinking maybe somebody could do something for him. And I went on by, I had him in the car, went on by the hospital. He sent nurses and things to the car, taking him out of the car, and carried him in there, and he put him to bed. Carried him in the room and put him to bed in there. And then he told him, he examined him. He come out of that room after all these other doctors have been with him. He came out of that room, he says, your daddy has got Bright's disease in the last stage. He said he's got his heart, he said how many times bigger than it ought to be. He says he's got cirrhosis of the liver. He says, now you can leave him here. And says, all I can do is make him comfortable. He says, but he'd be better satisfied at home. And he says, I'll give him medicine to keep him quiet and all like that. But he said he's got a week to live, and that's all. He lived an hour and 20 minutes over a week. And I knew an old man that Phil was raised with, that old man Bud Lawrence, they carried him to him. And he just examined him. He says he got a cancer of the stomach. So he got 6 months, and that's all. And he lived 6 months, and he did, too. Now then, they got to have all these tests 6 months before they can tell you nothing. But Dr. Hill wanted to see you first, but boy, he was a surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good doctor.
And that's all they had, that little stethoscope and the fever thermometer.
When knocked that thing off, it looked like I just knocked off that much of it.
You hear that, Sprinkle?
Yeah.
And most of the people went to Dr. Hill and they paid for it. Now, he was a very high-priced doctor. And when I knocked that thing off, I went in there and he dressed that thing 5 times. I went by the office and told Sinclair that, give me a check for $300. And I was going down there and tell him, hell, I'd give him that and pay him some more later. I went in his office and I asked him, Dr. Hillman, how much are you? And he says, because I dressed your finger 5 times, I says, I told him yes. He said, $25. So Mabel had to go to the hospital for an operation. I said, this is where he'll make up for all of it. And you know, when I went in there to ask him how much I owed him, he said $25. And after then, he never would charge me nothing for nothing he ever done. And even Mabel run over and they picked him up and got him in the car and carried him down there and he weighed on him and wouldn't charge him nothing.
Why?
He never charged me nothing. He was no, I'll say that he was a good personal friend, but I don't see why. I never had a lot to do with him or anything.
Obligated to him? No.
No. But he just, I reckon to say.
Well, you know, it's kicking.
He charged me, but he didn't charge me quite like he did some of the rest of them. But he said, well, nothing worth being done to this high. Said I had a stroke. Then busted the blood vessel.
Using the apples, if you pulled this other rum and all that wine and champagne, all that on the cake, it makes it soggy.
Mm-hmm.
But those apples were moist in as much as it'll taste. And it's not that way.
I don't have to tell you how much it is because I need it. You know how to taste. And I used to have a large can full of cake, you know, and old Liza used to, she'd come in the door. She wouldn't wait for nobody in her television. And she'd go right on that counter, pull out that can, look in there. Next thing I know, Liza would have a piece of cake on a plate eating it.
Is that right?
She knew where that large can come, I mean, stayed at, and she'd be going in. Yeah, I never said nothing to her. I never said nothing to none of the children. But they came in and I was cooking the cake, just got it cooked. If they want to cut it, they cut it all the same way. Pies, anything else. I'd always felt this way about it. If they wanted it, and I wouldn't let them have it, then they got sick and couldn't eat none of it, then I could never get over it.
Yeah.
muscles. They
wanted
to see that Roddy, my niece's son, that's he's in Japan now. He's a doctor. And he's a little seaman up there. And I done give him a piece of one of the layers of making cake. And I had just enough steak for my cake with. And his daddy come in the door. He said, "Daddy, don't you want a piece of cake?" He said, "Hey, baby, I don't care." He just taken the book of half and two and handed it to me.
You got to be pretty broad-minded to take that treatment after
I
take
so.
A cook one.
Broke his neck.
Is that a new watch?
Yes, Phil.
Oh.
Mine, and I got to have a crystal put on it, and it leaks in there, and it gets moist in there, and
yeah,
it runs.
Yeah.
And so I just take it, and he won't wear it. He says it hurts his arm, so I just put it on.
Yeah.
Good
time. It's one of those times. Yeah. Maybe we'll talk to him a little bit. I won't stay for 5 minutes.
Well,
I know, but you got to do something.
No, well, I haven't.
You
don't need
to go get that boy.
Huh?
Where do you want
this is
going to
come out Tuesday, and I was studying. You don't believe in a hereafter, do you? I mean, like hell, burning in hell, and all this, that, and other, do you?
Well, I tell you, I never really put my mind to it, but I don't, I guess I don't, because I don't think in those terms, no.
Well, if a man gets 10 years in prison, and he's, when he makes those 10 years and they turn him out, would he be, should they put him back in there and make him make 10 more years?
No.
But that sentence is, in other words, he's done, when he makes the 10 years, he's done what the law required.
Yeah.
Well, the Bible says that the wages of sin pays in death. When you die, you done pay that sin that you've done for dead body.
Yeah.
And if you're resurrected, you're resurrected with nothing on
you. Yeah. Do you have some good passages on that?
Huh? Oh, yeah. The Bible says the wages of sin pays in death. It don't say in eternal torment, burning forever.
Mm-hmm.
Not one place in the Bible shows that God made such a place as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Not one place in there. And so if he didn't make a place like that, it's not one there. And
mm-hmm.
it can't, you can't show me in the Bible whether it says there's any fire in hell. You don't say that?
Mm-hmm.
And as the Bible shows, that when anybody's dead, they're dead. The Bible says they are unconscious. The dead knoweth nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know where to find that at, don't you? In
I
the
think
third chapter of Ecclesiastes, 9th and 10th verse,
yeah.
And 146 Psalms, so the breath goeth forth. In that day, I think it is, the thoughts perishes. That's what he says there.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see.
All right.
People won't believe anything that's in. Witnesses didn't have a Bible until about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we generally always use the King James because people don't believe it. You know, if it's not in the King James Bible.
Yeah.
They don't know that it likes a long shot from being the oldest Bible.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. My eyes are so bright. Not your trust. I tell you, I can't hardly see it. Put not your trust in princes, not in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goes forth, he returns to the earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. So if we knew anything, it wouldn't perish, would it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Of course, I didn't have that other chap. I mean, that, of course, that's just the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
But, in other words, the Bible shows us when you're dead, you're dead. And if we are in God's memory, we'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not, we won't.
Yeah.
Well, now, how does the advent, the second coming, how does that tie in with all that, Mabel?
God, the best thing, I'm going to get caught up.
Well, I don't
show you something. It won't
take your time.
It's not the Witnesses Bible at all.
Yeah, I know the good speed, but I never use it.
I like it better than I do any translation.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I really do. You want to see how I wore it out.
Yeah.
But Florence, Rogers gave a, Florence, it used to be Rogers, she gave the church down that one. So,
well, maybe that thing's coming by.
I know it's wild. I want to get me another one these other days. But, I have to think about what chapter I'm hunting. You know, to keep it all in your head, it's a job.
I don't see how you do it. You do it, though.
Now, I like...
Who wrote Revelation? Hmm?
I just know what they say.
But Revelation is something, it's a prediction of the last days, the days we're living in today.
Yeah.
And John wrote Revelations. And he was in prison on Patmos Island.
Yeah.
And so Revelation was given to...
I don't...
Miss that. I just looking to see. I imagine that's all out. For this, it is. And it to Christ, and Christ signified and give it to the angels, and the angel give it unto John. Say what you said.
What kind of
life? Says, if the dead do not rise at all, let us eat and drink, for we will be dead tomorrow. Do not be misled by company running the charity. Return to your sober sense as you ought, and stop sinning. For some of you are utterly ignorant about God. To your shame, I say so. But someone will say, how can the dead rise? That was the question you asked, isn't it? What kind of a body will they have when they come back? You foolish man, the very seed you sowed never comes to life without dying first. Did you get understand that?
Mm-hmm.
And when you sow it, it has not the form it is going to have, but is a naked kernel, perhaps a wheat or something else, and God gives it just such a form as He pleases, so that each kind of seed has a form of its own. Flesh is not all alike. Men have one kind, animal another, bird another, and fish another. There are heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. You understand that, don't you?
Yeah, now that sounds like Paul, doesn't it?
That's Paul's writing. It is of one kind, and the beauty...
Well, I thought you was reading in Revelation.
No, you asked me about that.
Yeah.
And
that's Paul, that's spiritual.
About the resurrection.
Yeah, about spiritual body.
Mm-hmm. And the body is of another kind. The sun has one kind of beauty, and the moon another, and the stars another. Why one star differed from another is beauty. It is so with the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in decay. It is raised free from decay. It is sold in, can't say that word. It is raised in splendor. It is sold in weakness. It is raised in strength. It is a physical body that is sold. It is a spiritual body that is raised. Now, you can understand that, can't you?
Yeah.
And I was thinking this was the scripture I was looking for whether it says that none of us, I know where that is, Hebrews 11th chapter. The last Adam has become a living, giving spirit. You know what Adam is talking about there, don't you? What?
The last Adam, no, not at all.
That's Christ.
Yes.
Says the last Adam has become a life-giving spirit.
Yeah.
It is not in the spiritual that comes first, but the physically, and then the spiritual. The first man is of the dust of the earth. That was Adam.
Mm-hmm.
In the first Adam. The second man is from heaven. They who are of the earth are like him who was of the earth. And those who are of heaven are like him who is from heaven. And as we have been like the man of the earth, let us also try to be like a man from heaven. So you see, Christ is, in other words, when we die, what sin are we dying from? We're dying the inherited sin from Adam. Adam brought death from mankind.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's the sin we die from, die for. But after, you know, Armageddon, you, if you die, you'll be dying for your own sins. You won't be dying. You know, the ones that comes back, ones lives through Armageddon over in God's new world. Then the devil won't be here to, in other words, get us to do bad and all like that, like he does now.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever we'll be sinning for our own sin then. And that's the death. If you die, you don't come back from it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the second death the Bible speaks of.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be dying for our own sin, not for the son of Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Adam brought forth a dying race of people.
Yes, I know that. Now, how does the second coming sort of tie all that together, Mabel?
The second coming of Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Christ has done here. He's here now. In other words, he's done come to his temple to rule the earth. And he's separating his people. The 24th chapter of Matthew tells you everything that'll take place, Mark in his presence.
Yes.
And then in the 25th chapter of Matthew, he says, he'll tell you all these things will take place. He says, then I will take a seat in my throne, and I will call the people before me, and I will judge them equally.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people is being judged now. And so when Armageddon strikes, you don't have to, lots of people believe that they're going to look up yonder and see him. Well, the Bible says the world will see him no more. We see him by the things that he said would take place.
Mm-hmm.
And we see him that way. We won't see him without the literal eye. And but the church people, all of them, they believe they're looking for him to come. They don't know he's already come. But anyway, in these places shows that, you know, when he's taking his place to rule. Well, in Revelation 12 shows that when he had war in heaven, you know, and the devil and the angels cast out upon the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't go back to the heaven now. He's done cleansed heaven, and we got a new heaven. But the earth has got to be cleansed like heaven was.
Mm-hmm.
And so the devil will be, you know, abyss, he and the demons too.
And that's at Armageddon.
That is Armageddon. See, he'll be the last thing that goes down.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, whenever the dead comes back, the devil has done been chained today. He's in a dead condition, you see. And then these people that's on this earth that won't listen and try their best to live better, that they'll go down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the resurrection from that.
Mm-hmm.
Ones that dies in on the game. Because they will be done judged then. They're not worthy to live.
Well.
And so he is now a ruling. I mean, ruling his people. And if you could, if you know the organizations like I do, and see how that they operate, and all like that, you will know that they are taking the orders from above. Because if one there don't do what he's supposed to do, they take him down. And if another one take his place. And they don't, they disfellowship one right now. And you know when they disfellowship one, he don't, the rest of them don't speak to him, they'll have nothing to do with him.
You know that.
Is that your outfit?
That's exactly it. Whenever they go ahead and live wrong and misbehave and all like that, and they go to him and try their best to straighten him out. They have him up, you know, before the elders or whatever you call it, higher ups in the organization. And they try their best to straighten him out, and if he won't straighten out, they disfellowship him.
In other words,
they're
the judge.
No, they're not the judge. They go by what the Bible says. In other words,
you say yes.
Well, honey, when they get out here, bring in reproach against the organization, they won't live right. They're stealing and doing everything else that is wrong. Maybe they got a wife. They're running around with a bunch of women. Women running around with men. in and all like that, but when they get proof on them and they won't straighten up, they just fellowship it. And they don't have nobody that, you know, in there that don't play right, don't do right. And then it's a lot of them that comes out within themselves and then try to get back in. We got a brother in Jacksonville now that is trying to come back in the organization. He just spoke 7 languages. And he's one of the best on the Bible you most ever seen. But he just got, you know, too worried. He got to run around doing things he hadn't ought to, so they disfellowship. And so when they disfellowship one, the rest of them don't have nothing to do with it. And if he proves his worthiness, he can come back in, but he's got to prove it, and he's got to straighten up and do right.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows you know, the 11th chapter. You want to read it?
I can't see it.
You can't see it. That none of us receives the, you know, in other words, like, a religious organization says when you die, you go on to heaven, or hell won't. But that says, yet through they all gain God's approval by their faith, and they none of them receive what he has promised. For God has reserved upon something still better for us, that they may not reach the fulfillment of their hope except with us. In other words, we all get it together. It's not, you know. In other words, if you and I was to get out there and do an unpardonable sin, and I died, and I went on into hell and burnt for 60 years, and then you died and come on down there, I'd be done suffering about 60 years longer than you had, wouldn't it? And we committed the same crime together.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't be just, would it?
Yeah. You know, Lola Wicks, it looks to me like she would be in great demand, as well as she handles these things.
Mm-hmm. She is.
That she wouldn't have any time to cook her own meals.
She don't hardly. She, in other words, she does everything her body's able to, but more than it's able to care. So, Leota's 75 years old.
Why, Mabel?
Ain't got a bad stomach and all like that. And but now she is active in the service all the time.
Yeah.
That she's, well, she's just one of the most of them you see.
Uh-huh.
Just like that. But Leo go with all the time. You know, studying with anybody. She's getting Laura up there in bad shape. And, but she has her studies comes to the house. And you would be one young boy. Man came to the house one time there just hunting somebody to study with him.
Oh, really?
And so he comes every Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And she studied with a young fellow about 21 or 2 years old.
Well, think of that. And as good as she is,
mm-hmm.
she could hire out and make money.
They don't do that. In other words, what they do...
If she wanted to, she could increase her bank account, couldn't she?
But I tell you the truth, guys, so many people don't want it.
Oh, no.
No, they don't want it. They don't want the truth of the Bible because it interferes with the way they want to live.
Yes, it does. And furthermore, some little trouble to get it.
And I tell you, if the girl in Jacksonville, she said she was a singer, and she had a good job.
Yeah.
And she sung with a band, and she gave up the singing for this one.
Mm-hmm.
And she said when she first started out, she said she was scared to death of a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
And says every house she come to, my head was a preacher that she ran into. Says she raised this one to show her how little a preacher knew. But says she didn't have to talk to them but a few minutes before she knew she had something they didn't. Because she could answer the Bible questions and they couldn't.
Is that right?
And so she said that then she got where she was enough where she couldn't contact with a preacher.
Yeah.
But now Juanita no more than she knows about it. Methodist preacher at Christian River down there was at their house and several of the neighbors, you know, friends had come in and they started on the Bible. Maureen says she hadn't opened her mouth, she hadn't started it. and said that this preacher got up and goes out and gets his Bible and comes back in. When he did, won't he? He just goes upstairs and gets hers to come back in and take his seat. And when he started, won't he start? And she got to slapping the questions at him and reading the answer from the Bible. And he told, won't he? He said, well, dude, I wasn't ready for this. Said that so they have got your Bible marked all over. And says that mine said I just wasn't prepared for the questions that you give me. She said, my Bible hadn't been marked by nobody. It's not marked. And he said, well, in other words, says he wasn't just prepared for no such a discussion that they had had, and he got off all insulted about it.
Really?
But if he was a witness, he could answer those questions. I mean, if he'd have known his Bible, what he ought to know,
mm-hmm.
he could have answered, but he didn't answer.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, has Juanita studied?
She has studied.
She has.
Yes, she knows. And you go to study and you know. Well, you don't take it long to find
if
out.
She put her mind to it, she could learn it.
Oh, my, oh, Juanita's smart as well.
Oh, yeah.
And she can remember.
Yeah.
I ain't no kidding about it.
Yeah.
And
she likes to use her mind.
That's it. But in other words, that preacher, he just couldn't stand his ground. And you can find, I don't know the ones that went to study with Catholics and all like that, and the ones that they were studied with didn't tell the Catholics that the witness would be there.
Yeah.
She didn't tell the witnesses that the Catholic was going to be there, but she'd invite that priest over.
Yeah.
And whenever she did, she'd go to asking the priest a question, and then the witness would be there too. Whatever questions she'd ask the witness, she'd answer it.
I wished you like to hear this crusade man. What's his name? Billy Graham.
Billy Graham, I listen to him.
You do?
And I can sit there and ever tell you everything he says. I agree with it. Well, the Bible back to the way it done.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I just love to listen to him. Sometime when you got him turned on.
When he preached up here in Gainesville, and it was in the newspaper, and I sat there and underscored everything he said,
yeah.
you know, in that paper.
Yeah.
I heard him over the TV, and then I underscored it. I kept that paper a long time.
Yeah.
And I underscored the mistakes, as ignorant as I am.
Yeah.
Of course, what couldn't a witness? I mean, one is...
Well, he preaches with the Bible in one hand.
Yeah, but if you'll notice, it takes one little bit of text, and he never gets back to you. He'll start, Christ is love, you know, slaying his Bible, along like that.
Yeah.
But when he gets through, what is he told you?
That's
he'll
right.
start off very well, but then that other false business creeps in.
Yeah, he'll take a text and then leave it,
mm-hmm.
go off
mm-hmm.
on the other thing.
And when he gets through, you don't know nothing. What I wanted to know, God, was where the dead was, the hopes for the dead. That was what I wanted to know.
Uh-huh.
And I'd heard it all my life, what they had said. But I didn't think that. I want what the Bible said.
Yeah.
And these two old people, women up in their 80s came up my house. And they showed me more in my Bible than I had ever learned before.
Uh-huh.
And when they showed it to me in the Bible, I knew that was right.
I see.
And they could show me what hopes of the dead had.
Yeah.
In other words, when you die, you've got hopes of a resurrection. But for it being something in you that never dies, the Bible don't show that.
Well, now, when was it they did that?
Well, I've been in about, I was a bush and 4 to 5, I think.
In the witnesses?
Mm-hmm. I was raised a Baptist, but still didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the questions that you can ask...
And that goes back to the 45, whenever you first run into those two...
I've been studying about a year, when 44 was when I was baptized.
And that's about the time that you ran into those two...
Yeah, came to the house up there. I would
over
listen.
Here?
Uh-huh. I would listen every morning at 9 o'clock. It was there always was a preacher that come on the radio. funeral, and I'd listen at them, and they'd preach on faith. And I thought to myself, well, I believe in God. I want to have faith. But what is faith? I began to wonder about that. And I began to pray for heaven, begging for heaven. If it was anything like it was back in the disciples' time, they're letting me find it. And Ms. Boyd, I used to go and talk to Ms. Boyd by the hour, trying my best to get in and be satisfied.
Oh.
And so after this one morning, I heard this preacher at 12 at 9 o'clock preach. He was a Nazarene, preached on faith. And then that's when I began to beg for help. And I knew it was help somewhere, could help somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And then those two ladies came to life.
Oh.
And I know they were sent.
Yeah.
And you know, whenever they came, I knew that they were sent.
Were they witnesses?
They were witnesses. And that core, you think Leola's good.
Yeah.
Leola's sitting on the course.
Yeah.
Boy, a little bit of child could understand what she told me. Just like Leola. Well, and Leola's two of the best ones I've ever seen.
Yeah. But she must have been, but
But now what I want you to do now, Penny, says she will try to fix her studies to come over here one morning if you can be here. I want you to hear her too. She'll sit in like we do, but let her, you see her answer the question.
Oh.
She's the one that her husband...
Now, fella, listen to this. You had his head in his paper for a part of time. I had to go out and change the tape. When I came back, he lit in, and he had a good bit to say on another subject, of course.
I guess if I'd have cared anything about my job,
my
I guess I would have had a bad time, but I didn't care about it.
And another thing, they'd have had a hard time finding somebody to take the place.
Well, they never did. I had to go find him myself.
Yeah.
And stayed there a year longer than I was supposed to.
Oh, is that right? You had to go find this fellow yourself.
Yeah. What did he say?
He said, yeah, he was ready.
Well, you know, we don't have to have dope.
Well, we don't have to have dope.
You play with him out in the concourse.
He had that cold, and I don't want him out in this weather. But the cold a little yellow. This year, chapter, the ninth verse.
You know, my eyes don't take light to it. I'll just stick this
one. Okay. Says, who shall be punished? Well, let me get the verse above it. In a flame of fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and they obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from his glory of his power?
Now, yeah, read that again.
Shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now that shows there that they will be destroyed for it, with everlasting destruction.
Yes.
From the presence of the Lord. Well, if they're floating down there in hell, they're still in the presence of him, isn't it?
Yes.
Aren't they?
Yes.
And he says he don't get take the pleasure of death of no man. He wish they all would turn and live,
mm-hmm.
You see. And in other words, whenever they won't obey him, when they die, they're just like an animal. The Bible shows that too. That's Ecclesiastes 3, 3rd chapter, the 9th and 10th verse shows you that. And then you can take the... That's Ecclesiastes, third chapter, where it says that man is no more than a beast. As one dies, so dies the other. All has one breath, all goes of the earth, and all returns to the earth. There were no more in any flesh. You know, we all die. And then it's the 9th chapter. It's the 9th chapter and the 9th and 10th verse of Ecclesiastes, says you that. I was looking where, trying to find in this, where that it said that those that, you know, when Christ returned, you know, he would bring his with him.
Yes.
That is, that's the speaking of God, that's speaking of the heavenly force. That's the disciple class. That's the one, you know, They don't have to sleep like the others do. The Bible says they don't. In other words, if you and I died, we'd have to sleep and wait for the resurrection. Well, those now that is dying, that they are changed in a twinkling of an eye. I mean the heavenly place. That's in the sovereign place. And but they're the ones that is in heaven. You know, we'll be with Christ, and that's his bride, the 144,000.
Now, who are they?
They are the disciple class. There's number 144,000 those that goes to heaven. That's all that the Bible gives any account. Will live in heaven. The others live here on this earth. And this earth is a mighty good place to live if people behave themselves.
Yeah,
isn't it?
That's right.
Nothing about it with the earth. It's the people that's on it.
Yeah.
And here's a verse here. I'll read it to you. Says, for yourself knoweth perfectly that the day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. And when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as traffic upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But whenever the government thinks they got this world where they say peace and safety, you know, man is trying to make peace on this earth, but they're not looking to make it God's way, are they? Man wants the glory, not giving it to the Most High. And when they say peace and safety, that's going to be it.
Mm-hmm. I'll say that again, Mabel, for that verse.
For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as traveling upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye brothers are not in darkness, that day shall overtake you as a thief. See, the witness that we are looking for it. The worried people are not looking for it. Catholics tell them it's millions and millions of days old.
Now that's the day of destruction.
Days of destruction. Says, but ye brothers are not in darkness, that day shall overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. But let us watch and be sober. For they that sleepeth in the night, and they that be drunk are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet and the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, that's all rich in thought, isn't it?
That's it. God, that's the thing about it. These preachers and the religious faith can't harmonize the scriptures, but the witnesses can. They can tie every scripture right in together. You see that it was as high as 600 years between some writers.
Oh, yeah.
And if you know how to get out each part, and tie it together, then the Bible begins to make sense. But just to take it down and just read page after page, you can't get nothing out of it. But you know, Christ in Matthew alone quoted from Isaiah 26 times.
Yeah.
You know, scriptures. And I forget, you know, how many other places that he quoted, but from Isaiah I know it was 26 times.
You know, I've thought that. I've seen people that say they just take the scripture and read it cover to cover. And I think if I tried something like that, my mind would just be in a perfect clutter.
Yes, in other words, and I want to show you something else along as we're on this subject. Of course, I've got a bigger Bible, it'd be easier to read, but I want to show you something here now. And it ties in with any scripture, those scriptures. Says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show him, his servant, things which must shortly come to pass, and to send it and signify it by his angel unto his servant John. Now you know who then is the backbone of revelation. Now here's some scriptures that they would, a preacher don't know what to do with. And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness,
and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the king of the earth, unto him that loves us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, what did you say about Christ?
Yeah, that's a great
thing. He was the first of us dead and was resurrected. Well, if it was like the preacher says it is, he wasn't the first one, was he? You know if that makes sense? Now you listen. And that's Revelation 1st chapter in Revelation, the 5th verse. And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, he was the first one. Well, now, how about those Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all them that died beforehand?
Yeah.
The Bible says they die, they are dead.
Yeah.
And they died in his memory, and showing that they will be resurrected. They haven't been resurrected yet, because they're not of the heavenly class.
Yeah.
Even John the Baptist is not. How would you disprove that? Didn't Christ say that the least of these will be greater in the kingdom than John? He told how great John was,
yeah,
and all right, but says the least of these, told him, I said, the disciples will be greater in the kingdom than John, showing John the Baptist. He died before the church class was chosen.
Oh.
See, the church class is Christ's bride, body, you know, body members. That's the disciple class.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want you to listen on down here. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. That's John told about Christ. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the key of hell and of death. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean when Christ says he has the key of hell and of death?
Yeah.
I said, what does that mean? In other words, Christ was the first one that died and come back.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been given the power of death to stop it forever. And the key of those that is in hell or in the grave, he's got the key to to open that grave and bring him out.
Can I read that again? Let me see if I can get that out of there.
It says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead.
Yeah.
And he laid his right hand upon me and said unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the key of hell and of death.
Yeah, that's it.
He has the key of the grave. He can resurrect those out of the grave that's in a dead condition. He can bring them back, and he has the power to abolish death forever. That is in the thousand-year reign, at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ.
Now, do you, as you study this now, do you figure that this right now is in the thousand years?
No, sir. Armageddon's got to start. I'll be.
Yeah.
And oh, God, to think about, the Bible shows you that the ones that's left, you know, it says that this kingdom message, the witness is the only people on earth now, is telling you Christ's kingdom is now established, and he's separating the people. And he's separating them by the truth. That's the way they're separated. And when Armageddon strikes, the one, he says, has the mark in the forehead, that's the knowledge, will be passed over. You know, whenever the angels went in and when the Israelites, you know, they killed, you know, that killed the lamb, you know, and marked over the door with the blood. The angels passed over that house and then killed one.
Yeah.
Well, now that is with the knowledge we get in our mind. And the Bible says it's in your mark in your forehead. The destroying angels comes through. That mark is in our forehead. The knowledge we have, they pass over that and then kill the rest of them. And you see that those angels is called seraphims. It's a three in heaven, you see. The angel is a messenger carrier. A cherub is a guardian angel. And a seraphim is a destroying angel.
Oh.
The Bible speaks of. And so the Bible shows that this work will go on until the houses, so the kingdom message will go forth until the houses is left desolate. Show us on the houses we'll go through. And then you're beginning to get the ones that survive here that is alive, that won't have to die, and you have cleaned up this mess.
This is Channel 2 Right, the Channel 2 Right, and Ms. Patterson on her witnesses will be continued on Channel 2 Over. On Channel 2 Over. This is Channel 2 Right, the end of this side, the Channel 2 Right, and Ms. Patterson will be continued on Channel 2 Over. There's another few minutes. Channel 2 Right, the end of Channel 2 Right, and we'll go over and finish Ms. Patterson's visit of November the 9th, 1968, on the other side on Channel 2 Over. And this is the end of Channel 2 Right and Ms. Patterson's visit, and she's talking now about the witnesses. It'll be continued on the other side on Channel 2 Over. This is Channel 2 Right, the end of Channel 2 Right, and it'll be finished, Ms. Patterson's visit with Ms. Patterson, on Saturday, the 9th of November, 1968, on the other side, Channel 2